This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you.
Okay, folks, welcome to the People Speak Radio Show. This is your guest host, Charles Giuliani, here on BBS Radio. We've got a very important guest tonight, so I won't waste any time with the introduction. I don't think he needs an introduction, at least for most people in the 9/11 Truth Movement will certainly recognize his name. His name is Mike Delaney. He's the producer of a very important documentary called Missing Links. There are many people who have come to the awareness that 9/11 was a fraud, a government operation, but few among them have come to realize that there was a major Israeli involvement in the events of that day. So here to talk about that and what their objective is and was behind it is Mr. Mike Delaney. Welcome, Mike.
Welcome. Thank you for having me on this evening.
Yeah, great to have you on. This is indeed the missing link. You know, this is something that many truthers, quote-unquote, avoid for whatever reason. You know, sometimes it's just pure ignorance, but other times it's more than that. People just don't want to lift up certain rugs or expose certain lumps under the rug. They would rather dot around this, but this is probably the most major link, isn't it?
Yeah, it's certainly, you know, like I always let people know, you know, I started out, you know, basically in the your standardized 9/11 truth movement where you basically focused on Dick Cheney and George Bush and Rumsfeld. But you'd always ask, well, how come Israel isn't mentioned when you noticed all the glaring evidence of its involvement? And so that's the short of it, how it came to that point.
Well, yeah, I mean, they went out of their way to omit this. You know, there was that 2003 document that came out, you know, talking about prior knowledge of 9/11, and all we were told about it, there was one section that was omitted. I think it was 29 pages that they wouldn't release. And when asked why, what was in that 29 pages, and all they gave us was, well, it involved two foreign countries that were involved in the attacks. So obviously, Israeli government was one of them.
And this is one of the things people have a very hard time comprehending. I think it's a lot more well known now, obviously, and part of so many people working hard to get out the real truth on 9/11, not the fake one. But it was hard for people to basically comprehend. That there would be groups out there that would want to control the dissent, that would give you half the truth and misdirect you at the end result. And, that, you know, that's, once you finally realize that, you know, not to get any specifics, but there's other incidents in history where, you know, groups of people have been well known to spend lots of money to control the dissent or to uphold lies in history. And certainly 9/11 was invested heavily in doing so.
Right. Absolutely. Let's before we go into the details of you know, the proof, if you will, of their involvement, let's ask the first most basic fundamental question, ask and answer. You know, why would the Israeli government want to do something like this?
Well, see, they're this tiny little defenseless country, supposedly in the Middle East, surrounded by a whole bunch of nasty enemies, and they're the only democracy out there. So, yeah. Well, let me come off with the real truth here. You have to excuse a little bit of background noise. We didn't make it home in time. Had a late dinner this evening, so I got a little bit of noise here. But
oh, no problem.
The whole pretext, you know, without them just coming out and directly telling us, you pretty much, you know, looking at all the evidence, figure it out. You know, they're sitting there in the Middle East, and it's kind of like, you know, other incidents in history where they have attacked us in order to get us, you know, so the typical false flag, you know, smash a neighbor's window out and then tell the victim it was the other neighbor that you don't like. And, you get that victim to go run after him and fight them. And this is kind of what they, you know, what they like to do over there is, come over here, you know, whether it be as, bombings on our embassies or our certain ships we might have floating around out in that area, what have you. And, you know, they go and attack these assets of the United States. And, you know, of course, it's, you got solidarity in the media, perpetrating
lies. You know what,
Mike,
excuse me, if you could just, back away from the phone just a little bit. I think you're slightly over modulating just a bit.
Sure. How's that?
Yeah, that's much better. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we could go back, of course, and talk about, Levon affair, the USS Liberty. This actually isn't the first time in history that, Israel has done this type of stuff, is it? The Israeli government.
Yeah, I mean, we have well-known documented incidents, the King David Hotel as well. All three of these previous incidents, and I wish I would have had time to get the King David in there, but, these are incidents that are well-known, to be deliberate events. They still to this day claim the USS Liberty was an accident. Matter of fact, I just got done personally meeting with a regional director of the ADL who still perpetrates that as an accident, even though I explicitly showed him all the evidence of high-ranking people in the military and everybody on a ship that it was...
Oh, yeah, some of the pilots who flew those sorties had come forward and said that they radioed back, this is not an enemy ship, and they were told, you have your orders, carry them out.
Exactly. Exactly. So this is, you know, it makes pretty good sense, you know, when you look at it that way. You got a huge, one of the only superpowers, certainly around the time of 9/11. You know, there's probably other nations out there that are coming up to the point of being classified as that, I would imagine. But at that time, you know, you got America, and then you got a whole bunch of oil-rich countries around Israel, and you know, they wanted to get their free oil and wanted to knock out some of their enemies around there, and their enemies rightfully so with the way they treat the Palestinians. So,
they're very clever, aren't they? The minute you bring something up like this, they'll immediately attack you and call you, quote, anti-Semitic, which is absolutely ridiculous because they talk about Hitler's regime all the time. Well, you know, if protesting them is anti-Semitic, then I guess them protesting Hitler could be called anti-Aryan. It's nonsense.
Yeah.
You know, governments are corrupt. All governments have done evil things and continue to do evil things. And so, you know, they want us to believe that the Israeli government is an exception. You know, the Israeli government is pure and innocent and never does anything wrong. Don't even think of questioning what they do. You're anti-Semitic. This has got to stop.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, you know, they get around it by claiming, you know, well, Israel is known to be the Jewish state. And so it's a racially exclusive country, and so that's where they get to use that protective label they so endear.
Well, it's pure nonsense, and I, for one, am not falling for it anymore, and I'm sick and tired of hearing it. You know, they murder Palestinians on a daily basis. Nobody questions it. Our government professes to be concerned about ethnic cleansing, and yet we have never once lifted a finger to do anything about the mass murdering enterprise that goes on over there in the Middle East at the hand of Israel against the Palestinians. I mean, it's disgusting.
Yeah,
you don't even hear about it.
You gotta love the hypocrisy when we fought tooth and nail to run a propaganda campaign against the South African apartheid, but they don't say a word about the Israeli apartheid.
Never. Jimmy Carter does, and he gets attacked as senile and crazy, and it's maddening when you know what's going on and you see the lies, the blatant in your face lies. I always say this. I don't know what annoys me more, the fact that they lie so horrifically or the fact that so many gullible fools fall for it.
Well, yeah, I always place the blame on the gullible fools because they're going to do what they're going to do. You know, they're going
right,
to do
exactly.
with it as much as they can get away with.
Right.
And as long as the public keeps letting them get away with it, as long as they refuse to accept what the facts are, and those that accept the facts, as long as they stay quiet, they're going to keep doing what they're going to do, and this is
right.
what they've always done. So,
right.
You know,
for that reason,
I can't.
Yeah, it is the fault of the public. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't blame them for doing what they know how to do best. That's how I put it.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. That's all they ever know how to do. So naturally, yeah, they're just doing what comes natural. But anyway, let's get into some of the evidence. You know, I'm sure some of our listeners are familiar with the famous dancing Israeli fiasco the morning of 9/11. And then the follow-up report done by Fox News. Of all the news broadcast agencies, Fox, nonetheless, was the one that exposed that. It's pretty ironic.
Yeah, you're not kidding about that. I mean, there's so many different aspects. I guess we could go chronologically in this and not go all the way back to the beginning, but back to into the 90s when you had Pearl and... Oh, I'm a little rusty on the other guy's name now. Pearl and Feith.
Feith, Abrams.
Anyways, they wrote up the document, the ACB document, Clean Break, IASPS, which is basically an Israeli think tank, you know, specifically stating their strategic military plans to go into Iraq, Afghanistan, and Iran, and Syria. Hence, that's where we're halfway at right now.
Sure, sure.
Certainly made it clear they want to go in Iran and Syria now. The cat's out the bag on that. They basically transferred this document, rewritten it a little bit, and transferred it over to what they, to a group they created called the Project for New American Century. Let me just put you on mute here a second. Sorry about that. And this Project for New American Century was basically taking the conservative right, you know, your Republican paradigm believers, in making it a hybrid type of party, in a sense that they sort of came up with the term neoconservative, you know, as a new like neoliberalism, and what they did with this, and of course all the authors in there, you could if you verified almost every single one of them was happened to be Jewish, and so therefore Israel being a Jewish state, they certainly had a to that, and you know this group had. The document that was the ACB, the Clean Break, was introduced into PNAC called Rebuilding America's Defenses, along with some other documents that were probably inserted in there. And, you know, this is where the infamous quote goes, the need for a new Pearl Harbor. Now, this is where all the 9/11 truthers will talk about a new Pearl Harbor. They'll talk about PNAC. They'll talk about the Rebuilding America's Defense document. They don't ever go back a step and say, well, where's the source of that? Well, that source was the Clean Break document out of Israel.
Right.
These neocon, pro-Israel Jews in the government.
And well, I mean, so look at the list of names who were members of PNAC, you know, Rumsfeld, Wolfowitz, Pearl, Feith, Abrams. I mean, they're not Irish.
The Bar Mitzvah. I mean,
yeah.
It's
unbelievable.
It's absolutely ridiculous. You know, if you try to break this down to people, you said, if you had any other group, racial solidarity group in the government advising the Pentagon, advising the White House, or being heads of so many things, the media, the banking, and you go, if this was the Chinese that were all throughout these ranks of government, all owned the media, and, China, the 9/11 gets hit, and it's a Chinese financial center, the Chinese, and then you go, they're telling us it's Korea.
Yeah,
you know,
and they all got dual citizenship, too. It's not just that they have Jewish last names. You know?
Absolutely. It certainly it shows their dual loyalties at the very least. You know, it's not just, say an American Jew that really doesn't give a care in the world about Israel. These are people that are, you know, citizens of that country as well.
Die-hard loyalists. Yeah, exactly.
So moving on for PNAC, Rebuilding America's Defenses, the need for a new Pearl Harbor. Well, there you go, new Pearl Harbor happens. 9/11. On 9/11, what do you have? You have... There's a lot of media clips I would love to have thrown in the 9/11 chapter showing all the neocon Jews from PNAC were right there. It was like they were sitting in studio waiting to tell you it was Osama bin Laden and Al-Qaeda. You know, and then mind you, the official investigation for 9/11 took 444 days before they even had an investigation to find out specifically who or... Yeah, exactly. And, but they were there on the sets of TV outlets all over the place. Even, the Sharon or Netanyahu was even on one of them. Yeah, you know, Pearl, Feith, Wolfowitz, and such. These guys are all up. you know, oh, it's got to be Osama. We knew it was going to be him. We knew it was going to be Al-Qaeda. They hate America, and they hate our freedoms, and they ran a propaganda campaign right away. Meanwhile, if you caught on to the 9/11 truth movement, I would suspect they were setting up this so-called conspiracy movement as well to make sure that, well, if you really weren't dumb enough to believe that 19 cavemen with box cutters were able to beat a $1 trillion defense, we'll answer a couple more questions to make it sound truthful. But yeah, it was, they were running a campaign right off the bat on that day.
Sure. They don't even care. They prefer you not, but if you do see it as a fiasco, they don't care that you think it was the U.S. government, the Bush administration. Just don't continue that on into Israel. Are you there, Mike?
Sorry about that. So we're bringing up the dancing Israelis at this point. You had several people caught that day, and mind you, they were doing sweeps. The government, I almost think this was a fire back at the government, because it sounded like at the time the government was rounding up these Israeli spies, and they were catching these guys all over the place before 9/11 and on the day of. You know, the ones that were sitting there filming the event before it even happened, celebrating it. Some were caught with bombs in their trucks. You had them scattered all over the place. Now, I know a lot of people like to, in this so-called 9/11 truth movement, especially lately, they've evolved to say this was a Western intelligence operation. Well, you know, I tell these people, see, you're finally admitting to Israel was involved in this, but you're also throwing MI5, MI6, CIA. Now, I tell you what, I didn't see any CIA or MI5 get caught at the scene of the crime, filming the event.
Exactly. Caught with box cutters, for crying out loud. Maps that had the area of the World Trade Center circled. And when they were asked, what are you doing here? Oh, we're just here to film the event. Oh, really? And how did you know? Nobody asked them. How did you know there was an event? What did they do with these people? They sent them back to Israel at U.S. taxpayer expense. End of story.
Yeah, after they failed polygraph test 3 times, mind you.
You know what gets me, too, is for the next several days, including 9/11 and several days thereafter, they showed us that phony footage of dancing Palestinians supposedly cheering the towers burning. It turns out that was stock footage they had from weeks earlier, you know. And when they claimed it was being shown live, it was actually nighttime over there at the time, and they're showing it as though it's, you know, the sun's overhead like noontime. Unbelievable. But anyway, they're trying to give the impression that Palestinians were dancing and cheering the towers burning, when in reality, that wasn't the case, but Israelis were arrested that day dancing and cheering the towers burning. We heard nothing about that.
Well, yeah, and then ashamedly, they had to round up 1,000 random Arabs, you know, around the states to make it really look like, well, the overwhelming number of people rounded up in this sweep was, Islamist extremists.
Yeah.
You know, I think that was just probably a ploy to outnumber how many Israelis they were catching at the scene of the crime. You know, and it's funny, you mentioned they had the Palestinian footage, you know, like almost immediately, but they still couldn't seem to figure out how to get the footage out of the airport security cameras.
right. They couldn't find the black boxes, but boy, the FBI was right on target, seizing those surveillance tapes within minutes after the strike. They couldn't get it intercepted in the air to shoot down the plane, you know. Oh, my gosh. I don't know.
So we had to see all the way across the world, supposedly Palestinians celebrating, but yet we couldn't see the 88 cameras at the Pentagon and the cameras that were ICTS security companies, which are Israeli security companies, at all the airports.
You know, anybody at this point, with all the information that has come out, if they can't see it at this point, they got sucker written all over them, or else traitor. They probably do see it and don't want to admit it. I mean, if you're an honest, truth-loving, patriotic American citizen, how in the world can you not see that this thing was a scam and that it did, in fact, involve our so-called best ally in the Middle East? Unquestionably.
This is what I told the ADL director. Not like I was going to convert an ADL director over to the truth. I mean,
there's
certainly not
that. Yeah.
But I was doing that to illustrate to the guy on video so other people could watch is that basically, I caught the guy in so many lies, it was absolutely ridiculous, but I was making the point, this is so obvious that you're trying to cover this up. I mean, if you look at the fact, all the biggest spies, all the real terrorism that has been absolutely proven in the history of the United States have come out of Israel. So, I mean, the biggest drug dealers have been caught in this country have come out of Israel.
Sure. Human trafficking, organ trafficking, sex trafficking, you name it.
Exactly. So, but, the whole 9/11 issue, though, is, to this day, I still tell them it's an important event, just as it was, 4 years ago when everybody was thinking it was just George Bush and Dick Cheney. I said it's even more important now because we have a more finite target on who was behind it than we did before,
Right.
And, so, that's to me what is the biggest message to this day to still get out, knowing the events,
Right. I tell you what, we're going to go for a short break here in just a moment. But when we get back, I want to get into the real nuts and bolts of this, the real hardcore evidence. We've already touched upon a few things, but, I mean, your video is just loaded. It's the absolute best documentary out there on the subject. It's just beaming with information. So when we get back, I want you to go over that in detail, if you would, so that
sure.
Any skeptics listening will have no excuse for doubting any longer the Israeli involvement in 9/11. So, folks, stick with us. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back.
This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson from Normal. For 30 years, Normal has provided a voice for the millions of Americans who smoke marijuana responsibly. Thousands of sick and dying patients find marijuana effective as a medicine, including cancer, MS, and AIDS patients. 9 states have legalized its use. To learn how you can help, contact Normal at www.norml.org or call toll-free at 888-67-NORML.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine having banks and credit that serve the community, solvent and free of Wall Street corruption, that create strong local economy and job growth? Banks that put profits right back into the local business and economy, not into far-off foreign investments or high-risk and exotic finance schemes of the super-rich.
Yes, we can.
Can you imagine eliminating income tax, ensuring economic stability, increasing social programs, and improving the standard of living for all Americans while paying off the federal debt?
Yes, we can.
That's right. It's all possible.
Yes.
Can you join us in working towards a solution utilizing principles suggested by our founding fathers through united action and strategies outlined in articles, blogs, and wiki spaces where you can share and collaborate?
Uh-huh.
Please visit Ellen Brown's website, webofdebt.com, and help us make America's money and future of, by, and for the people once again. Can you do that?
Yes, we can.
Caution, if you are prone to being disturbed by real truth and real solutions, please continue to consult with your qualified Wall Street cheerleader economist on network television. Side effects for not visiting webofdebt.com include drowsiness, loss of job, loss of control of national finance, loss of country, followed by panic attacks and rude awakenings.
Join the World March for Peace and Nonviolence, an international 3-month event spanning 7 continents and over 1 million participants. With endorsements from luminaries worldwide such as President Jimmy Carter, His Holiness the Dalai Lama, and Archbishop Desmond Tutu. The World March for Peace and Nonviolence seeks to bring attention to the need to end war and occupation, reduce arms spending, and all forms of violence. Please visit theworldmarch.org.
This land is yours.
Join us on the People Speak for an hour of live interviews and audience interaction as guests of various organizations share their work and strategies which impact our world and make a difference. That's the People Speak every Tuesday, 5 to 6 p.m. Pacific, 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern on the BBS Radio Network.
This land was made for you and me.
Okay, folks, welcome back to the People Speak Radio. It's your guest host, Charles Giuliani, here on BBS Radio. Our guest, once again, this evening is Mike Delaney, creator of the Missing Links documentary exposing the Israeli government's involvement in 9/11. I mentioned before the break, Mike, I wanted to have you go over some of the real hardcore evidence. Before we do that, though, we have a few questions that have come in here via text, if you don't mind answering really quickly. This one is from John in the Canadian Rockies. He says, can you provide an update, a timeline, when justice will be served? That's not too easy of a question to answer.
Yeah. I think, unlike other events in history that have taken a long time to come to light, this event has, I got to give credit to those out there that have worked hard at getting this message out there. You know, it's been a team effort, and it certainly has, it's been a thorn in their behind, you know, because these guys are all still in power, basically, you know, as far as, you know, logistics are concerned. Their friends are in power, or they're in power, and, you know,
sure.
They've got themselves a little time with this Obama administration in there, because, you know, one of the downfalls of the 9/11 truth movement was, you know, since you were blaming it on Bush, Cheney, and the Republican neocon party, everybody kind of fell back asleep a little bit when Obama came in thinking that it was going to save us. When,
sure, if nice distraction. Let's go back to business as usual. Everything's fine now.
Exactly. So, but I got a feeling as things get a little rougher in this country, this issue will be reinvigorated, and it'll probably come back a whole lot stronger than it was before.
Well, the gig's up with Israel, the Israeli government. People are catching on. They realize the biggest lobbyist group in Washington is, in fact, IPAC, thus the most influential. I mean, their own major newspapers, Haaretz and Jerusalem Post, talk almost on a daily basis about the manipulation of the Pentagon by the Israeli government. You know, that we're in Iraq primarily because of the influence of Israel. They admit it themselves. So people are finally starting to catch on. Let me move on here to a couple more quick questions. Sue in Massachusetts, which is where I'm coming from, she said, I guess it's a two-part question. She says, what can be done about any of this, which you pretty much already addressed? And then she says, what if Israel, the Mossad, were involved? Isn't this all after the fact? I guess she asked this question early on. We've already been addressing that. No, it's not after the fact. They were involved from the word go. Do you have any
more? A lot of people like to spin the fact, like I was bringing up, these groups saying it's Western intelligence agencies. And you'll notice that if you bring up the fact that, Israel was even claiming prior knowledge, they'll say, yeah, well, they warned us, so they can't be our enemy. They couldn't be involved. And, that's absolutely absurd. You can't go and say, well, you caught you guys red-handed with bombs in their trucks. But they warned us, and then, nobody was, they weren't at fault for anything. They just if you look at who controls this government, like, so AIPAC and the media and stuff, and Israel was not involved at all, and they were trying to warn us, you best believe that their interest in the financial powers of the World Trade Center would not have been touched.
Yeah.
If it wasn't doing it.
Right. Well, they certainly got the warning message out to Odigo employees, didn't they?
Yes, they did. Yeah, that right there. Smoking gun, and I got to thank Haaretz newspaper for writing that one up.
for those that aren't aware of that story, Odigo was an instant messaging company headquartered in Tel Aviv. They had a branch off in the World Trade Center, and the day before the attacks, everybody got an email, don't come in tomorrow, something's up, and so nobody from that company went to work, and naturally, they got the warning out to them. Why didn't they warn the whole country? Why didn't they warn, And then, of course, the dancing Israelis that were arrested said they were there to film the event. So there's more prior knowledge. They knew what was coming. Of course, they knew they were planning it. But that prior knowledge is very damning against them, because why didn't they give the warning then? How come how come everybody wasn't warned across the board?
Well, another thing that they've done, too, to spin the evidence and use it to their benefit was to say that, because the whole thing came down with this 4,000 Jews didn't show up for work that day. And so the media has even used that, even back at CNN back in 2006, they said, this is ridiculous. No Jews died at the towers that day. And see, they used that by just encompassing all Jews, but neglecting to say that the Israelis were the ones that didn't get killed that day. And that's where they've been able to spin this, because, you know, well, let me back up a little bit how this happened. If I'm not mistaken, the Israeli embassy in the United States had received over 4,000 calls of concerned relatives from Israel about people that were supposed to be in the towers and that weren't able to get a hold of. So this number came out in some news source that, you know, 4,000 calls were made. And so, of course, this rumor spun out to 4,000 Jews didn't go to work that day, and then it spun out into, oh, well, no Jews got killed at towers, which, of course, was absolutely ridiculously untrue.
Yeah.
That's how the media used it, like, this theory, which had a lot of truth to it, that people didn't show up to work because they were warned, and there was 4,000 calls, got spun into, oh, well, now you're just saying all Jews didn't go to work that day, and I can show you Rosenberg, this and this and that. And so, you know, that's how they chastise you, you know, just like when they throw the label anti-Semite. It's just absolutely ridiculous.
It's a typical propagandic response, yeah.
Right. Exactly. So, the Odigo thing was, that was a huge smoking gun. I mean, you just can't
absolutely
get any more
Right.
And, of course, you go to track down who's behind the companies and where the monies were made. You know, you follow the money, in corresponding companies like Converse and such. Reaped in huge profits from 9/11.
Sure. There were actually many Israeli companies, I'm sure you're aware of. Doug Zakim was the head of a company that specialized in installing remote control devices in commercial airliners. So, you know, that's probably the company that was employed for that purpose. We know that the planes probably were flown by remote control. You had the... P-TECH, right here in Massachusetts, actually, that ran security systems for federal agency computers across the board, you know, the Pentagon, the State Department, you name it. So that gave them a big leeway there, gave them a big advantage, you know, to manipulate the whole scene of events on 9/11 in their favor, you know, to cover up.
This is what I believe happened to John O'Neill, you know, one of the top FBI officials. I think he was probably getting on to the case of what was going on. Now, they were running so much counterintelligence. Like I said, they had the back doors into the military computers. You know, even Fox News reported that, you know, with Amdocs and Converse, that they were able to trace almost every single phone call in this country.
Sure.
The DEA had caught them and busted them running counter phone taps and
the Fox report even brought that out, Amdocs. Sure, right.
And so... this is, and I believe that's where all these mall cart deals, these Zoomcopter and such mall carts that disappeared by the thousands after 9/11.
I actually bought one of those. I wasn't aware of this stuff at the time, you know. But when the story broke and they said that one of their fronts was selling Whirlycopters in malls, I'm like, oh, my God. I bought my son one of those. And they had an Israeli accent, too.
Yeah, well, I actually worked one of them next to the carts back in 2000 in San Diego, and I've been known to go to these carts all over the country now and film them and get them on question. Now, people would normally look at them and think that everybody in the hierarchy of this Israeli government, you know, these mall cart people, because obviously they shut down, they know they had to be guilty of something, but even the individuals, the Israelis working at the carts, a lot of these people were pretty ignorant, like, you know, go talk to another guy. But I think what their purpose was, and still their purpose now, because now they got these secret spas, mall carts all over the country. They'll have two, three of them in one, and they're all Israeli workers. It's the same game over again. But I think what they're meant to do is, because, you know, they're all military trained, they're all obviously very loyal to only Israel. This is just milk and honey over here for them.
Yeah.
And so I think what the purpose was of 9/11 is that, you know, like a sign in, if they need to be called upon, and they're trained in a certain area of the country to do counterintelligence, you know, the fake artwork and all that such.
Right.
To go do. So I think this is what, you know, backing up to John O'Neill, he was probably, you know, corresponding with everybody, maybe, you know, talked about it and, you know, getting wind of what was going on, because there are certainly good people in the government that were, that know this even now to this day that are in there.
And then his first day on his new job in the World Trade Center, he dies conveniently.
Yeah. And he wasn't even that high up. It wasn't like he was at the restaurant at the top or nothing. He was only on like a 32nd or 34th floor or something like that. And
right.
He could easily, but they made sure they kept him in there. Who knows? They might have tied him up in a chair on his first day.
Yeah. No kidding.
You know, they certainly had to get rid of him. He would have been a huge threat, you know, somebody that was,
yeah. For those not familiar with John O'Neill, he was an FBI, anti-terrorism expert, and obviously he was starting to speak out about things before 9/11, and so yeah, that was a convenient way to get rid of him. You think it's by chance, folks, that he just happened to get that job that day? He just started that day. Come on, goodness gracious, that's about as coincidental as Mr. Silverstein and his little purchase there of the towers 6 weeks before and insuring them for twice the value. Why did he even buy them in the first place when they were a bad investment? You know, only about 50% of the office space was rented out. They were losing money. They were loaded with asbestos. It would have cost way too much money to have the asbestos removed. It cost more money to keep the towers running than what they were making on the rentals. Why would you do that?
Absolutely enormous ability for a piece of property. It was completely unprofitable. And And they were in a catch-22 with the property as well, because they wouldn't allow for permits to destroy the buildings. The asbestos would have cost,
too much. Yeah.
Yeah.
It just goes on and on. Anyway, let me go to a couple more quick questions, and then we can get into some more of the evidence. Marty from the U.S. asks, what are you doing in addition to talking about this and exposing it? Are you involved in anything else? I guess he wants to know, are you doing anything to try to, bring justice about? Or?
Well, on top of putting the movie together, I would like to consider myself one of the most prolific activists for this event, out there. And, not the kind that's just running around saying 9/11 is an inside job. Not that I'm going to shoot down anybody for their activism. I would just like to see it more refined and spoken more truly in public. And, I've confronted Senator Russ Feingold face-to-face with this evidence. You know, this is like confronting the ADL guy, though. You know, he gave me the answer. I'm on the Intelligence Committee, and this is absurd. Did you blame our friend, our ally, Israel? And this is ridiculous. But it was good because, the perfect scenario was with me confronting Russ Feingold, the senator in Wisconsin, is he was speaking at one of these town hall things. And I'm telling people, if you just go to these congressional and Senate websites, they go around and they speak to the public all the time in these little town halls, and you're able to talk. Go ahead and get it on video, confront them with the evidence. Hey, what about these Israelis today, He was speaking at a town hall in a city, Grafton, Wisconsin. Grafton, Wisconsin is, the town hall was a block and a half away from the USS Liberty Memorial Library.
Isn't that interesting?
Yes. So the townspeople that were in the audience there, this is a fairly small town, mind you. And their main library is the USS Liberty Memorial Library, so they're very well aware. Matter of fact, there was a local that donated $200,000 to get this library going, because the government wasn't going to fund it with who controls that.
That's for sure, yeah.
I'm approaching him. I'm saying, it shouldn't be any surprise to everybody in this room that Israel has attacked us in the past before. You should just look at the USS Liberty and the Levant affair. He had to have been wearing some Depends. He really had to. He would have needed.
The time is really running away. There's so much to cover. All I can say is, folks, whatever we don't cover, and there's going to be a lot we don't cover because, it's just not enough time, but do check out the video. In fact, probably a good time for you to give the website. You want to go ahead and give that now, Mike?
Sure. That's 911missinglinks with an S at the end of that, .com. 911missinglinks.com. You can watch the movie for free. I got a forum set up on there. There's a text synopsis of it and contact information. And
you can watch the video right there on the website as well, right?
Yeah, you can watch it. You can download it. I got an embed code on there, so you can put it on your MySpace, your other blog sites, or steal the movie, pass it out, burn it, do whatever you want. That movie is completely for anybody out there that wants it and do what they want with it.
There you go, folks. Go check it out and share it with your friends, your family, your neighbors. This word has to get out. Got some questions still coming in here. Got some really good ones. This one's from Mike in California. He says, do you think that Obama or anyone in this government will do anything different in regard to Israel's perverse influence on our politics and policies in the Middle East? I like that word, perverse.
Will Obama do anything? Not if he wants to keep his head intact and not explode it all over the map.
That says it all, doesn't it? Yeah, that's about it. Unfortunately, that's how it works. He's beholden to the same power masters that the Bush administration was, unfortunately.
This is going to have to be grassroots. It's going to have to be people like us getting out there and getting this information out. You know, some of these bigger 9/11 controlled op groups have even had huge grassroots movements. Followers that, you know, a lot of them didn't know any better, and unfortunately, and they've come along a lot since then, but
right.
It's going to come through. None of these politicians are going to do anything for you. The media.
No. And by the way, in further regards to the Obama question, look who the head of his chief of staff is there. It's Mr. Rahm Emanuel, another Irishman.
Another Chinese, huh? Yeah.
Yeah, right. Oh, goodness. Anyway, from Allie in Illinois. Ali asks, do you think that there will be another 9/11?
I think there's certainly a possibility of it. I certainly don't like predicting events to happen because that always puts mud on your face. Everybody's out there saying the economy is going to collapse tomorrow and the end of the world is going to happen. And let me put it to you like this. Since 9/11 and since not enough people, unfortunately, have really been able to get this message out to do really good damage, they've been able to get a better stranglehold. The 2006 elections put more of their friends in the government than ever. It's a complete sweep almost at this point. Not only that, but since then, Israeli security companies have expanded from not only our airports, but to our nuclear missile bases and our nuclear energy plants.
Well, they don't control, make you feel comfortable, folks.
Yeah, so could it happen? Certainly. And I think, look, these people aren't going to give up the power they have in this nation without a fight. They're not going to. We got to talk about them, and it's going to be a point that I would imagine there's going to have to be a fight, too. And I think that's probably what they might be dangling over the heads of maybe people in the government that would want to do something, but they're afraid, well, you know, they'll set something off again, you know, and before you know it, we'll really be screwed.
Like Sun Tzu said in The Art of War, the first casualty of war is the truth. And so.
Exactly.
Yeah. We need to come to realize that we're lied to about everything in this country. Everything. Everything's a scam. So, if you want the truth, folks, you've got to go find it yourself. They're not going to hand deliver it to you on the controlled media, that's for sure. And speaking of Israeli involvement in 9/11, who do you think runs the media in this country, folks? Look at the big names that run Hollywood, that run the big networks. I mean, you know, it doesn't take a genius to figure that out. We have another question here. Steve in the UK, this is an interesting question. He says, how does it matter if Israel participated? We already know the government did it, and the Israeli government is part of the U.S. government, part of it, it controls it. Anyway, so what's the big surprise if they participated, if they did, because I haven't seen any proof yet? Well, obviously, he hasn't seen your documentary. He wouldn't be saying that if he had seen it. All the evidence you need is right there.
Well, that is a question, and I'll tell you why, because he's one of the kind of people that throw around the word government very loosely, and when you do that, you're not really identifying. Let me put it like this. There's an analogy I like to make with people that just broadly paint the brush of government over people. You got a lot of people a lot of these people in government right now that are trying to disarm American publics, and what they're trying to do is blame guns. Well, it's not guns that are killing people, that are killing people. So you can't go and blame guns for shooting people when there's a trigger man behind it. Same thing goes in government. You have to identify the specific people, and then once you identify in 9/11 the specific people, they do have a unified cause and nation. You take it even further than that. So if you're going to investigate a crime, especially as big as this, I mean, they put a lot more effort into investigating Britney Spears cutting her hair off then they do this crime. But you have to make sure that you have the enemy identified that did the crime properly. And you can't just say government, because we have to have government, and there's lots of good people still in our government that we need to embrace to investigate this or to prosecute crimes or what have you. They need to be there at some point in time. You can't just wipe it off the map as the whole government.
Right, right. Here's a thought. The best proof that 9/11 was not done by radical, fanatical Muslim, fundamentalists is the fact that they targeted America instead of Israel. Muslims aren't stupid. Muslims know that this government is controlled by Israel. If they really were hell-bent on dealing a deadly blow to their enemy, they would have attacked Israel, not the United States. The United States is just the glove. They want to go after the hand that fits into the glove. You know what I'm saying? We're just the puppet for Israel. Go after the puppeteer. The puppet is harmless without the puppeteer. You know?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, I never even looked at it that way, but yeah, that makes perfect sense. Why don't they just go next door in the Middle East? You know, instead of coming up here and waking up the big giants.
Because their beef really is not with the United States. Their beef is with Israel. And they know that the United States, for the most part, the citizens anyway, are not their enemy. They're not going to attack innocent United States citizens. They have no qualms with us. It's the corrupt government in the United States they have a qualm with. But they wouldn't even have a qualm with that if it wasn't for Israel pulling the strings of the United States government in Israel's favor, in their favor. Go ahead.
Well, let's not forget, too, that the Middle East was America's friends for a long time until Israel came around the block.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. It was never a problem. Another big factor in this is, of course, Christian Zionism, which really annoys the living daylights out of me with preachers like John Hagee. He once said that, Parsley, Rod Parsley is another one. He was actually John McCain's pastor. And I was listening to an excerpt one time from a sermon he gave, and he said the United States was founded in part to wipe out Islam. The United States was founded in part to destroy evil Islam. What history book is he reading?
I can tell you the author's Steinberg or something behind that.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Right. It ended in Steen or Berg or whoever wrote that book. It's just incredible, the propaganda that comes out of these people. I think Christian Zionism is even more dangerous than, secular Israeli Zionism.
It is, in a sense. Certainly the people that know what they're doing, the leadership of Christian Zionism that know what they're doing, like the Haggis and such. I know a lot of people get caught up in the congregation, but these people are just as brainwashed as any other group of people out there, and so I don't like to,
sure.
I usually don't against the congregation, because they think they're doing good, they think they're protecting God's chosen people, and so, they're usually, a lot of them are decent people, some of the evangelicals, which are the most hardcore Zionist Christians, they homeschool their children, they live, decent lives, but they're just propagated with the biggest lie that protects these people in history, and it's
right.
Absolutely disturbing. That was one of the people I confronted as well, not to mention, Senator Feingold and Congressman Sensenbrenner, the guy that introduced Patriot Act 1 to the Congress, and the guy that cabled down to reauthor it and shut everybody up from discussing it, and when they reauthored it again, I confronted him. But one of the other people was the supposed former Palestinian terrorist, Waleed Shubat, who's all over the media saying, I was a former Palestinian terrorist, and now I'm a Christian who knows we have to protect Israel.
Gosh. Yeah, whatever.
Now, in an auditorium of 800 people, and surprisingly, a lot of pro-Israel people, but there was a bunch of Palestinians and Muslims in there. And I stood up there, and I got in a suit, got the camera, and I stood up there, and I said, this is absolutely disgusting. I said, we know Israel's involved in 9/11. They did the U.S. of Liberty. They did the Levant Affair. How are you going to sit up here and speak this garbage?
They pick up stones and try to stone you?
As soon as Israel came out of my mouth in 9/11, too, you heard the boos from the front of the audience.
It's disgusting. But I commend you for doing that. Boy, you really stuck your head in a rat's nest with that one.
I got a lot of cheers. A lot of cheers at the very end of the my
show. Oh, really?
They were
awesome.
The Palestinians are like, yeah.
I tell you what, Mike, I wish we had more time. Unfortunately, this hour has really cooked by on us. But I want to commend you not only with your documentary, but this other work you've been doing, trying to bring an awareness to the general public of the Israeli involvement with 9/11 and a lot of their other crimes as well. Keep up the good work. Once again, I want to mention your website.
Yes, it's 911missinglinks.com. Again, watch the movie for free, download it, embed it on your website. For mine, I got unlimited bandwidth and server space, so go ahead and stream it everywhere you possibly can. Just get it out there.
Excellent. There you go, folks. It's for free. You can share it, and please do. If you have any doubt, all the proof is there. Go check it out and find out the ugly truth for yourself. Thanks again, Mike. Keep up the good work. Really appreciate you coming on.
Thanks, Charles. I appreciate you having me on.
You bet. Okay, folks, that's it for tonight. Just want to let you know, next Tuesday, our regular host, Basima Farhat, will be back. She will be hosting a poetry reading, and everyone is invited to come and listen in and to share their own poetry, if you should have any. So join us next week at the same time. Okay, folks, hope you enjoyed the show. Very informative. Once again, check out Mike's website. Very important information there. It'll blow you away. So have a good week, and we'll see you next week. Take care.
One bright sunny morning, in the shadow of the seawall, by the relief of death, I saw my people. And they stood there hungry, and I stood there wondering if this land was made for you and me. This land is yours. This land is my land, from California to the New York Island, Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream water. Yeah, this land is made for you and me.